Would you please be finding in your Bibles the book of Deuteronomy? And as you're turning there, you'll be finding the sixth chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want to begin this morning by acknowledging what has already been acknowledged by others, and that is that this, of course, is Father's Day. I want to speak to you for a few moments along the lines of some things that the Bible has to say regarding fathers, but I thought it might be of some interest to you to know a little bit, if you don't already, about the background of this day, at least within our nation, and the observance of what we call Father's Day. The first time that it was really officially observed anywhere was in the state of Washington in 1910. And then over the course of many years, it gained acknowledgement and recognition in other parts of our country. In 1966, it was President Lyndon Johnson who spoke about the observance of Father's Day on a national basis. But it was really not until 1972 when President Richard Nixon formally acknowledged it as a national holiday. And I think probably most of us would recognize that while it is certainly good and appropriate that a day be set aside to acknowledge fathers, our fathers, and the fathers of our nation, I think most of us would acknowledge the fact that fatherhood has fallen on hard times. Let me give you some statistics that I think bear that out. There are 24 million children. That's one-third of the children in this country who are not living with their biological father. 20 million children, that's a little over one-fourth of the children in this country, are living in a single-parent home. One-third of the births of, it's 1.3 million births in our country each year are children that are born out of wedlock. There are many other statistics that one could cite that demonstrate what a hard time fatherhood has fallen upon in our nation. I think I got a little bit of, just by coincidence, this past week, in view of what I was planning on speaking about to you, I got a little bit of a firsthand illustration of the hard times that fatherhood has fallen upon. Pulled up to an intersection, a red light, and of course, you know, one of the pleasures of Southern California is the weather is so temperate. It's you can ride with your windows down, and it's very comfortable and very enjoyable. But sometimes, of course, you have to listen to the guy's music next to you. And that's not always very pleasant and enjoyable. But on this occasion, it wasn't music that I heard as I sat there with my window rolled down at this intersection. A car pulled up beside me, and I heard a string of profanity and cursing coming from the car next to me. And I looked over, and there's a man with what was obviously his son sitting in the front seat with him, and cursing his son for some thing that his son had done. And then as I looked in the back seat, the son was probably somewhere around 15, 16 years old. And I looked in the back seat, and there apparently was his daughter, the man's daughter, probably 11, 12 years old. And I thought, boy, what a life. What an experience these children have had. If that is any kind of representation of what they were being brought up in, the kind of person they were being brought up by. And it made me appreciate the father that I had. And I hope that a day like today would be a day when you can look upon your experience and the father that you had with a sense of appreciation. But I recognize that that may not necessarily be so. That in an audience of this size, that very likely there are some who had fathers like that father in that car that sat next to me. But that is not to say that you have to be that kind of a father. Or that you have to marry a man who will be that kind of a father to your children. I want you to look with me at a passage of Scripture that I hope will help us to appreciate what God had in mind when He arranged for this kind of a relationship of father to child. It was God's design, as after all, He created man and woman. He brought them together as husband and wife, and He established that within that relationship that there would be children that would be brought into the world and raised by a mother and a father. What did He have in mind when He conceived this idea of fatherhood? Well, the text that I want us to look at in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, is a passage of Scripture that records the words of Moses spoken to the children of Israel in preparation for their taking possession of the land. And I will readily admit to you that these are words that are spoken to all of Israel. They are spoken to those who were fathers as well as mothers. They were spoken to men and to women. They were spoken to the old and to the young. But I would say to you, as there was this great assemblage of Israel on this day, listening to the words of Moses, that there were in that audience many who were fathers. And that as we read the characteristics that are outlined in this passage, we will see characteristics that would aid a man in being the kind of father that God intends for him to be. I've titled this lesson, Dads Who Shoot Straight. Just meaning, simply, those who can be the kinds of fathers that you can rely upon. Those who will be dependable in being what God intends for a father to be. Now, I will say this to you. As I thought about this lesson, I thought about the ways that I have delivered these kinds of lessons in the past. And I think as I reviewed this, I have to admit to you that probably when I have preached lessons on Mother's Day, I have preached lessons along the lines of, you ought to be thankful for the mother that you have. And that when I have preached lessons on Father's Day, I have preached lessons that have gone along the lines of, now men, here's what you ought to be. Well, I want to break that mold. And I would like today to try and focus upon an appreciation for dads who shoot straight. And the first thing that I want you to do with me is to read this text in Deuteronomy chapter 6. In the first 9 verses. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Now, I want to say again to you that as Moses spoke these words, there were no doubt thousands upon thousands of men in that audience hearing this who were fathers. And there were thousands upon thousands of Israelites as they heard these words, if they reflected upon the kind of person that their father was or had been, that they would be able to say, thank God I had a father who was like this, who was just like this. And there were thousands upon thousands of young men in Israel who, when they heard these things, could have and should have said within their hearts, that's the kind of man I'm going to be. Now, I want you to think about some things that are said in this text that can be applied to fathers. The first thing that is heralded in this passage, the first quality that is commended, is among those who would have a teachable heart or a teachable spirit. Look in verse 1 again, where he says, and this is the commandment, the statutes, the judgments with the Lord, which the Lord has commanded me to teach you. Now, what I want to say to you is this, that is that fatherhood is a relationship in which the man who is the father is a person who remains teachable. It is a person who is willing to be taught. And that's a quality that oftentimes is absent, not just within men, but within people in general. Oftentimes, you'll find people who are just not willing to be taught. They're not willing to listen. Do you remember 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 when the Apostle Paul was giving instructions to Timothy about his preaching? And he told him to take the things which he had taught to Timothy, and for Timothy then to take those things that he had learned from Paul to teach others, to teach other men who would then be able to teach others as well. You've got four levels there. You have Paul and Timothy who was to teach other men who would in turn be able to teach others as well. What the Bible tells us that God is looking for is for people who are teachable, who want to be taught. Now, may I ask you this, whether you're a father or not, men, women, old, young, are you looking to be taught? Are you willing to be taught? Do you have a heart that says, teach me? You know, we're reading the book of Psalms, and it's the psalmist who says, teach me thy ways, O Lord. He is one who was looking to be taught. Now, if you've got the kind of a dad who shoots straight, who is dependable, who can be relied upon, the one who will tell you straightforwardly what not only you need to hear, but will tell it in a way that you need to hear it, then you've got a father who is teachable, who has a heart that remains one that can be instructed. But I want you to notice in verse 1 a second quality that is outlined for us. In the latter part of that verse, he says that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it. Here's another quality, admirable in men who are fathers as they ought to be. That is, they have an obedient will. Moses spoke to Israel saying, here are the things that God commanded me that I should teach you and that you should obey. I've told you before that, you know, sometimes people will begin to talk about, well, what one word summarizes our view of life? What one word would sum up what your view of life is as a human being. And sometimes many people will say, well, success. Some people will say, well, you know, I think love. And there are many words that could be offered, but I would offer to you the one word that I think summarizes it. Your purpose in life, my purpose in life. And that's the word obey. Obey. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for people who will be willing to be taught, but who also are willing to combine with that the other side of the coin, and that is to obey. Now, dads who shoot straight, dads who can be relied upon, who are dependable, who are what God wants them to be, are dads who are willing to obey. Is that the picture you get in your mind when you think about a man? You know, a man's man? I think some of you know I'm kind of a John Wayne fan. But that's just movies. You know, that kind of bravado, that hitch up your pants and, you know, pull yourself up by the bootstraps or whatever, and nobody's going to tell me what to do kind of attitude. A lot of times that's what we think about when we think about being a man. There's a man's man. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'll tell you what the Bible says about a man's man. A man's man is the man who will say to his God, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears. You just give the word, God, and I am going to comply." There's a great song that we sing. Maybe not as often as at one time. It's number 326. Trust and obey. The first verse says this: when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. The last verse says, then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says, we will do. Where He sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. And then the chorus says, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And what we find Moses saying to his people as they were preparing to go into the promised land was just exactly that. You need to trust and obey. And if you're going to be the kind of father that you ought to be, it's going to require that you trust and obey God. But now there's a third element in this text that we ought not let to escape our attention, and that is how there is to be a generational view taken. And again, I acknowledge that this was being said to all of Israel, but it's particularly true for fathers as well. As you look in verse 2, it says, he goes on after calling upon the people to learn what God was saying and to obey what He was saying to them. He says then in verse 2, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God. Isn't it interesting that as Moses is giving this instruction, he's not saying to these people, now here's what you need to do: learn what God is saying and obey what God is saying, and then you get the land. No, that's he says you need to be thinking beyond just yourself, beyond just your time. He says you need to be thinking in terms of your son and your grandson. Men, men who are shooting straight with their children, are men who are thinking beyond just themselves. They're thinking beyond just their career. They're thinking beyond just their pleasures and enjoyments in this current life. They're thinking of what is going to be to the best interest of my son and my daughter. What's going to be in the best interest of my children's children? We take a generational view if we think in the ways that God wants us to think. If you've got a dad who shoots straight, then you need to appreciate this fact, and that is that he's not thinking only about himself, not thinking only about your mother. He's thinking about you and even your children. How is he doing that? He's doing it by laying a groundwork, showing a way that's going to be to the welfare for you and for the children that you'll bear as well. There's a fourth quality that's borne out in this text. Look in verse 3. He says, O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it. Now here's another quality of good fathers, and that is that they're listeners. They will listen. Of course, the primary application of this text is listening to God. Listening to what God has, and being careful to do it. Being careful. You know, Moses is talking about a quality of our ears here that maybe sometimes we overlook, and that is how sensitive they are. I first became acquainted with how sensitive our ears are when I was doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing, and my mother got my attention by flicking